Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for those in church leadership. I'm Andrew Cook. It's great that we can be together once more. Christian Basics, the series continues. As we continue our series here on Serving Today about teaching the basics of Christianity to new or untaught believers, we have one final part on the doctrine of Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read that all Scripture is God-breathed. And this raises a number of significant questions, which we're going to look at now. And first is this: should we be concerned over individual words in the Bible? Derek French asked our friend Dr. John Hall if he would answer that for us.
Thank you, Derek. Yes, the whole of the message of the book is important. And that message is made up of sentences which are made up of individual words. So all the words are important. And as Jesus said, not the smallest part of a letter will by any means disappear until everything was fulfilled. You also see that the words are important from the next verse we're going to look at in Galatians 3 and verse 16, where the whole argument hangs on the nature of one word, whether it is singular or plural. Please, could you read that for us, Derek? Galatians 3 and verse 16.
The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. The scripture does not say unto seeds, meaning many people, but unto your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ.
And so we see there that Paul's argument hangs on the word seed referring to Christ, and so the words themselves are important.
John, a completely different area now. We've already seen in this series that the Bible took about 1,500 years to write. Can we expect God to give us more books to add to the 66 we now have, or is the Bible complete? And if so, can you tell us why? And could I also ask, do we have any right to pick and choose which parts of the Bible we should accept? Because there are people today who make that claim. How would you answer that?
Well, the fact is that no books have been added since the last one, Revelation, was added. So that's about 1900 years or more since the Bible has been complete. There was debate about which books to include right up to the 4th century, but the books themselves that are included were seen as self-authenticating. In other words, the church recognised them to be God's word and submitted to them. Now let's look again at what the Bible says. If you read, Derek, please, those now familiar verses in 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17.
And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Paul says the scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation and to thoroughly equip each Christian for every good work, and so nothing more is needed. To add to them or take away from them as God's word is a very serious matter, and we shouldn't do it. If you read from Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 now, please, Derek, to show us that.
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book.
Moses said much the same in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, where he writes, "See that you do all I command you, and do not add to it or take away from it." And so we should not be tempted to add to the Bible our own words or other people's words, old church traditions, other books or writings, or any modern-day prophets who claim to speak from God. Only the Bible is surely and certainly God's word, and let me urge you to stick to that, and leave the rest aside as inferior books compared to the Bible. so-called prophets can be very dangerous because they may well lead us away from God's truth or just simply lead us into neglecting what God has already said in the Bible, causing us to ignore the Bible. The Bible claims for itself to be sufficient to guide us to God and to safely guide us through this life and into the next, giving us all that we need for life and godliness. Look what the psalmist says. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
John, we've touched on this area before, but because it's so important, can you tell us how the Bible was written? And by that I mean not just the mechanics of how the words were put on paper, as it were, but how its accuracy and truthfulness were safeguarded, because really our eternal and spiritual well-being is at stake here, because if it isn't that safe, how can we trust what it teaches?
Well, Derek, the Bible is a divine book. The Holy Spirit is the author, and he guarantees its truthfulness and reliability in all it says. It's without error as originally given, and speaks with absolute authority when it speaks. But it's also a human book. God caused human writers to write it down, and did so in such a way that though they were human, they wrote what God wanted them to say, and they wrote without error. The Apostle Peter describes the process in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21.
And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
The prophet is God's mouthpiece, and he didn't decide in his own imagination what to say, but the Holy Spirit worked in the prophet, carrying them along, as Peter says. The picture here is like a wind carries along a sailing ship. So the Holy Spirit, God's breath, works in the prophet's mind to give him the words to speak.
John, what other evidence is there that support the Bible's claim to be the very truth of God?
I just want to mention three things, Derek. Firstly, fulfilled prophecy. In the Old Testament, 1,000 years before Christ died, David wrote Psalm 22, which describes his sufferings. Read Psalm 22 for yourself after the programme. More than 700 years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant who is the Lord Jesus Christ, showing what his death was going to achieve and how he would rise from the dead. And people like the Apostle Peter used it in his writings to show us it spoke of Christ. You can read again Isaiah 53 and also Peter's use of it in 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25.
I was thinking there, John, I often feel when I read Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 as if those two writers were actually at the cross, witnessing at the very time they wrote, but they wrote many hundreds of years before the event took place.
Yes, as Jesus said, everything was to be fulfilled in even the minutest detail. And that detail is given there, and you can see it fulfilled as you read the gospel records for yourself. Now, the second point is this. Though it was written over 1,500 years, and perhaps by 40 different authors, there's a unity and consistency of message. It's not contradictory. It all speaks of Christ and points to him as God's deliverer. And so we see that the Bible is God's word. And thirdly, it actually does what it claims. It makes people wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so millions of people today have trusted Christ and had their sins forgiven. They have new life. They have new hope. They have power to live for God, just as the Bible promises.
John, then perhaps the most important question of all, after all that we've learned about the Bible, and it's this. What should our attitude be towards it?
Well, Derek, I already indicated that the most important thing is that we should listen to it and obey it in our own lives. Jesus says of those who are his followers, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 27. It's a lovely picture, is that? People often mark their sheep to show their ownership. And Jesus' sheep have two marks on them which show they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a mark on their ear, they listen to his voice, which is only found in the Bible, and they have a mark on the foot. Having listened, they obey. Derek, could you read John 8, 31 and 32, please?
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Here again, Jesus says his disciples hold to his teaching, and his teaching is only found in the Bible. And this teaching, when you obey it, you become convinced it's the truth, and the truth sets you free. It also enables you to live well for God, as the psalmist says. Derek, could you read Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16, please?
"How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word."
And so as we look at the way a young man would keep his way pure, we should pray with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And as God does open our eyes, we should seek then with all our energies to put what he tells us into practice.
John, in closing, can you summarise all that we've learned about the Bible itself and what that should mean for us?
Yes, Derek. The Bible claims to be God's word and is therefore objectively true. The writers saw themselves as writing God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son from heaven, saw it as God's word. You remember he said, "Your word is truth." Therefore, why dismiss its claims without serious examination? If it is true, God, our Maker, is speaking to you, and it's absolute folly to ignore it. Your soul's salvation depends on you obeying its message and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying its message and repenting and believing. Let me urge you at the end of this study to listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, to listen to the voice of God's word and obey it.
And with that, we close this edition of Serving Today. Until next time, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.